This is WCNY's The Capitol Press Room, and we're highlighting a campaign designed to improve internet access for New Yorkers without permanent housing, including by imposing a requirement for Wi-Fi in homeless shelters. To discuss this issue, we're joined remotely by Adolfo Abreu, the Housing Campaign's director for Vocal NY, an advocacy organization working to end the AIDS epidemic, war on drugs, mass incarceration, and homelessness. Thanks for making the time, Adolfo.
No, thank you for having me for this critical, important conversation on Wi-Fi for the homeless.
Well, yeah, for starters, how big of a concern is internet connectivity for New Yorkers experiencing homelessness?
It's critical, right? A lot of folks, when we're talking about the landscape of ending homelessness, obviously one of the basic solutions and an essential approach is ensuring that folks have access to a key and a permanent home that they can call their own. But we tend to forget what else is needed in the ramp up of ensuring that folks have access to permanent housing. And closing the digital divide is one of those important aspects, because I think about one of the stories shared by one of our members in Vocal New York when they were afforded a CityFEPS voucher, particularly a shopping letter that they could use to find housing. The nearest location that they can find Wi-Fi and internet access was on the MTA platform near their shelter. And they spent a lot of time there applying via Housing Connect just to ensure that they were able to apply to as many options as they could. And they used their own personal phone just to have that access, when in reality, it should have been provided in the shelter. And more often than not, people have to go outside of the shelter, either go to a public library or anywhere else where they can have access to free, reliable broadband just to have that connectivity. And housing is just one of the many things that the internet connects people to.
So I think there might be stereotypes that people have in their minds about who utilizes homeless services. So can you talk a little bit about the types of New Yorkers who actually can rely on temporary housing and the different circumstances and where internet just is critical to their lives?
This fight and this legislation will mostly apply right now to temporary housing facilities, which is expansive enough to include family shelters, shelters for adults, domestic violence shelters, runaway and homeless youth shelters, and safe houses for refugees. And for a lot of folks there, as I mentioned, housing is one, but there's also people who are needing the support of either accessing telehealth services or connecting with family and friends or connecting court appointment related situations in which they need to figure out how to get to a certain place to ensure that whether there's their immigration or those folks who are justice involved have access to that connectivity and getting resources. So there's a lot of things that, you know, that internet access and the shelters will be able to provide folks access to, depending on whatever multitude of supports that they may need. Or just to be honest, just like you and I, it might just be just to have fun and talk to our families and friends, to have a moment and opportunity to forget about a stabilizing moment in our lives and just be able to just decompress so that we can then be able to do everything else that we need to do to get into permanent housing.
So there's legislation which has been approved by the state Senate addressing internet access in temporary housing. How would this bill address the internet connectivity gap?
If passed and enacted, it will ensure that, you know, state dollars under the Connect All program, which is state and federally funded, that those dollars are in this pot of money and can be utilized to reimburse and or cover this kind of necessary infrastructure to ensure that not only shelters have access to Wi-Fi, but that it is the strongest broadband possible, right? Because we don't just want to create internet access in shelters and then there's like caps in terms of the limit or the broadband itself. And this program has been mostly successful right now in rural communities to ensure that there is, again, that closing of the digital divide. But right now, as it relates to, like, for example, in the New York City context, you know, Wi-Fi exists in family shelters because of the work that was done by Legal Aid Society, Vocal New York, and other folks to ensure that as young people, public school students who were in shelter, were being told that, hey, you know, we got to go into remote learning. And more often than not, folks didn't have the technology nor the broadband to connect to remote learning. We were able to create that infrastructure as a result of this lawsuit. So this already exists in family shelters. And we've seen the benefits of ensuring that, you know, public school students who are homeless are connected, and also the benefits, you know, it brings to families who are also connected in that regard. But it doesn't exist in single adult shelters. And we've done a survey right now in which we're talking to, you know, folks who are in need of Wi-Fi in shelters, you know, what benefit will Wi-Fi bring to their lives and what they use in terms of like if they had it, what benefits will it bring? And a lot of folks are talking about housing, employment, education opportunities, or just leisure. And I think this is important that we get this done in the budget or in the remaining days of the legislative session just to close that inequity.
Is there an expectation that at the temporary housing facilities that don't currently provide some sort of Wi-Fi, that they have the capacity to actually implement that? I know it doesn't necessarily seem like the biggest technological hurdle, but do you feel confident that the people running these facilities could set up something capable of distributing Wi-Fi, or would there need to be some sort of infrastructure put in place to help some of these people?
It is possible because even in our surveying, we've gone to some shelters where Wi-Fi is already there, right? But the complications that folks have expressed and shared with us is the fact that sometimes the staff don't share the Wi-Fi access to the shelter residents. It's mostly just for the organization, and there have been nightmare scenarios in which shelter staff nilly-willy provide access to. Maybe it's like the password or just the connectivity to certain clients that they prefer or they have certain biases towards. And what this legislation will allow is that this is a fundamental right that's awarded to everybody across the state. So even if you have the instance of where there is Wi-Fi already in a shelter, it creates the conditions so that one, it's available to everybody and that there's reimbursements and costs covered by the state to ensure that everyone has access to the Wi-Fi. So it's possible, but you got to make sure that the funding is there and that there's enough outreach done by the state with facilities that they're funding.
Well, finally, we're talking as the state budget process goes into what soccer fans would probably call extra time. So, in that extra time, what housing issues are you prioritizing for the budget?
Absolutely. So as I said earlier, Wi-Fi and closing the digital divide is a key priority to ensuring that folks have the means to take care of all of the things that they need in their personal lives, just to get them towards the path of permanent housing. But another priority is making sure that people find housing. And the Housing Access Voucher Program is one priority that's loved by everybody, but except the governor. I don't know why. But we do know why, right? It's like more often than not, there's resistance to investing in people who need support to be able to find pathways to permanent housing. And sometimes people might scoff at price points, but in order to address and provide stability in people's lives that are ultimately cost effective, we need investment. And the Housing Access Voucher Program from us and to other people who normally were in disagreement on a variety of issues, there's commonality there. The second is, HIV rental assistance, and particularly for HIV positive New Yorkers outside of New York City, because right now in New York City, HIV positive New Yorkers via the HIV AIDS Service Administration are provided with support with a 30% rental assistance, provided support with public assistance in terms of ensuring that folks have access to transportation to go to medical appointments, to also be able to provide for the ability to get the medication and food. And that's life-saving vital infrastructure that exists in New York City. But as soon as you step out of the five boroughs, HIV positive New Yorkers are left to dry. And there's only maybe some support that they might receive with public assistance benefits, but not that 30% rental assistance. So we've been pushing for the last 6 years to undo failed budget language in the budget to extend this. So we're in the play to talk about all of this ecosystem of care because we know that we need, again, to support the pathways into permanent housing and ensure that people stay.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Adolfo Abreu. They are the Housing Campaigns Director for Vocal NY. Adolfo, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO. A federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. More information at unionstrongny.org. And by the New York State United Teachers, a statewide union of nearly 700,000 professionals in education and healthcare.